I never actually listened to the words of this song. Something about being a loner and a two-beach comber. I like to comb beaches. All right. I mean, I'm definitely a loner. You don't have this life and not end up as a loner. That's totally me. It's funny because when I was younger, I used to be the person that brought all the groups together and I was a facilitator, which incidentally is why I'm not a great co-host, is because I facilitate more than I share my own opinions and what I have to say. But when I was younger, I used to bring all the groups together and so I could fit into any group and morph with any group. Now I'm just a big old fat loner. It's funny how your life changes. It's not what I ever expected. It's all right. The radio show is pretty good. It's a good gig if you can get it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out. We're here on what is now a Wednesday morning, and just now Hurricane Ian has been upgraded to a Category 4. And so even as the eye approaches Tampa, Florida, the whole panhandle of Florida pretty much is getting battered by rains. We're talking about the type of rain and the type of storm that could flood homes and businesses, 2 feet of rain in some cases. So that comes with devastating storm surge. I've heard 7 feet plus. The winds that are already impacting Florida, there have been multiple tornadoes in this hurricane that have touched down in parts of South Florida. Certainly widespread power outages because the wind gusts even now are up to 100 miles per hour. And so we're thinking of you. I know that I've reached out to family and friends with calls and texts. I've got people on the Gulf Coast, as I feel like everyone in the United States has people in Florida. That's just a thing, right? We all have people in Florida. And so whether it's the Gulf Coast or Central Florida, I mean, we're talking about major metro areas. Yes, Tampa, but also Orlando is directly in the path of this storm. Jacksonville is feeling it. I mean, the Florida panhandle is relatively thin. And so right now, the rains are already impacting not just the central portion of the state, but on over to the Atlantic coast. I've got friends who have family members who have even evacuated their homes on the Atlantic coast. So there's so many people in the path of this storm, millions and millions, and it's already left all kinds of devastating effects and damages in its wake. So in Cuba, the entire power grid is out. The entire power grid for the island of Cuba is out. I know these islands like Cuba and Puerto Rico and some of the others in the Caribbean don't have the same infrastructure. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that there are parts of these countries that are third world conditions. But they don't have the money, they don't have the infrastructure, and so these storms batter them in a different way. But we've got warnings, and so I hope that you all are being smart and being safe and taking care of yourselves and your families and the people that depend upon you and believing that the rest of us are praying and thinking about you. I know I am. So that's number one. That's priority number one on this Wednesday morning is watching the forecast and the track of the storm and thinking about the people in Florida. We do sports here just because that's what we do. But we're obviously all people, not one track mind. And so sports is a piece of that, but you're never going to catch me sticking to sports or even talking or thinking about sports the majority of the time. So there's a lot of life that's going on outside of sports. There are many events and some of them are sporting events that have been moved or have been canceled because of the storms. I even have family plans of my own that have been postponed because the storm is eventually going to head up the Atlantic coast. So again, thinking of you as Hurricane Ian bears down on Florida and then will make its way up along the East Coast, and definitely worried about the people in the path of the storm. So please, please, please be careful and be safe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Thank you for all your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I do try to go back. Sometimes it's not until Wednesday afternoon because I'm too tired to answer any more questions on Wednesday morning when I get home. Plus, I need a break from social media. Someone asked me or asked producer Jay, and he fielded the question to me, what do you do to unwind? Well, doing social media in the mornings does not help me unwind. So I try. I generally do one tweet or I retweet a poll or something like that. But I leave here after the show and I head home and I usually don't get deep into social media again until after I wake up. So that's the first place I start with work actually is email and social media when I get up in the afternoon. So I will answer some of your questions. Whether it's Twitter or Facebook, I try to go back and answer some of these questions quickly. So if you didn't hear your question, make sure you check and to see if there's an answer. And then also we save some of these questions for later versions of Ask Amy. And I know now we've decided we're going to do kind of a football version of Ask Amy Anything on video. I mean, I don't know if we can top the park on July 4th. If you haven't seen the park and the walk and talk on July 4th, well, that is on our YouTube channel, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Easy to find. That was pretty good. I don't know if we come up with another setting. Can we find a football field somewhere?
I was just thinking that, like on the 50-yard line or something, but there's no football fields here in Manhattan.
How about we run 40s?
We run 40s?
You can't run a 40?
I can run a 40. I think still.
Would it take you 40 to run a 40?
40 minutes.
Well, I mean, that's just sad.
I don't know what it would take me. Under 5 seconds, I think I could do. Maybe 5.1.
That's not under 5, Jay.
Well, you know, give or take.
Have you ever tried one?
I don't think I have, actually.
I mean, I've done 100-yard dashes, 50-yard dashes for my life. But
I was never a speed guy, though. Like, even when I did run a little bit of track, I was the long distance, and I could do that. I was better always than, like, a jolt, a burst. Not my game.
Funny, that's the opposite of me. I was always a sprinter. In fact, even as a forward and one of the tallest players on my basketball team in college, I was the fastest going end line to end line next to our point guard. So she would be first and I was second. But now I'm a long distance runner and I'm not fast at all. So now I just keep chucking.
Well, now you're good at long distance.
So. Just, yeah. I mean, not fast, but I did.
You get good times.
You
get good times.
Not the half marathons. I still haven't hit my goal. That's actually going to be the goal in 2023 is another one where I can hit my goal. But doing the 10K, I was really pleased that I hit my goal. So that's funny. It's kind of opposite. Just wait till you get old. And well, you don't exercise though. So I don't know. Old may come more quickly than for you. What did you say?
I get out there once in a while.
Yes, it is once in a while, once. To be sure.
No, literal once, yeah. I got out there once.
All right, well, it's always a good time to turn over a new leaf, Jay.
Yeah, maybe New Year's.
Didn't we do a video in which we talked about our goals for 2022?
Working out was not one of my goals. Did not say that. It was never on my list.
No, that's true. In fact, I think we specifically mentioned that there would be no talk of the gym or exercise.
I think we said we'd want to do less of that. So if anything, meeting my goals.
That's not true. I did not say less of that. I just said we weren't going to talk about it. Yeah, I mean, how about you can't do less than what you do.
Okay, I'm not like a sloth. I'm
active. Don't know about that. Really? What exercise do you do?
I'm going to walk to my car after this, so, you know, something.
I'm incredulous sometimes when he opens his mouth. I can't believe he actually speaks these things. I mean, it's crazy to me. My stress level would be through the roof, and I would weigh 400 pounds if I did not exercise. Like and Jay just, he never exercises. His exercise is literally walking to his car or playing catch with me once a week. That's pretty much it.
That'll do it.
That'll do it, and he never gains a pound. I mean, it's crazy. Although, who knows what's happening on the inside with your cholesterol?
I don't know. Not me.
I mean, you're not a spring chicken anymore.
Not yet. Getting older. Getting older.
Nah, you're definitely not a spring chicken anymore.
Not anymore.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm just cheesing producer Jay. Although, who said it recently? Was it? Who said that there's some truth behind every joke? Oh, it was Von Miller. There is truth behind every joke.
Thanks.
I'm not your punching bag. Is that what you're telling me right now?
I guess I am.
You're fine. Oh, my gosh. I think you'll survive.
I'll be all right. Unless my internal organs decide otherwise.
Yeah, but your cholesterol could be through the roof. You never know what's happening. I mean, your arteries could be completely hardened.
Could be.
When was the last time you ate a vegetable?
Yesterday. Sausage and peppers. Little onion, little pepper. Those are vegetables, right? I think. Last time I checked.
When was the last time before that? I'm just saying, vegetables and fruits are good for your insides. No, not fruit snacks.
It's like 100% fruit, real fruit, it says. So, you know.
It does not say that. You're such a liar. It does not say that. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I need to do something that's more productive with my time, because talking to Jay about fruits and vegetables and his life habits is not productive. Trust me. I've tried for a year. What is that line from Pirates of the Caribbean? Let's see. There is no...
You're the worst pirate I ever heard of?
Oh, no cause is lost if there is one fool willing to fight for it. That's it, Jay. I'm the fool who's willing to fight for you being more healthy.
I appreciate that.
You're not a lost cause, because I refuse to give up. We're going to see which one of us is more stubborn.
I feel like it's in a good, coming from a good place, so...
You not exercising is coming from a good place?
You being on me
I would prefer you not die by the time you're 40.
No.
Okay. I'm just saying that a little exercise and a little veggies into your diet could be a good thing. Jay refuses, though. That's the thing. All right. This is, as I say, a depressing conversation. So let's move on to something that's more uplifting. How about the St. Louis Cardinals taking another major step in this year of Albert and Waino and Yachty?
Swing and a line drive to center field. Mitchell on the move. He jumps up and he can't get it. And it's a home run. It's over the wall. It may have hit the top of the wall, maybe even the glove of the center fielder Mitchell, but it's a home run to center field for Andrew Kisner, a two-run shot, and the Cardinals lead 4-0.
Yepes swings, and he drives it down the left field line, a base hit. That scores Carlson. Tommy Edman stops at second, and Yepes, going after Milner's first pitch, drives in a run, making it 6-0 Cardinals. So Wong will take off for second base. No, he doesn't, actually. And there's a comebacker. Helsley has it on the mound. Runs toward first. Flips to Goldschmidt. And the Cardinals can celebrate a Central Division title, beating the Milwaukee Brewers tonight 6-2 to win the NL Central.
Definitely a huge step, you know, but I think, everybody here is, we're just excited, a great group of guys, you know, to be back in the playoff and hopefully finish our mission, and that's winning a championship. You know, at the end of the day, you make all the money, you make all the memories, but there's nothing better, you know, than playing deep in October. You know, I had the opportunity to be in three World Series, winning two, and hopefully, you know, my last year here, you know, get that same opportunity, you know, that I have in 2011. The main goal, you know, when I say in spring training, it was about our organization, our team, the way that we go about it. Yes, we celebrate opening day, you know, but after opening day, you know, it's like, hey, our mission. And our mission, you know, we just try to get to the playoff. Here we are, you know, and hopefully, you know, we can continue to play well. And we are a pretty dangerous team.
Albert Pujols makes a case there. Believe in the Cardinals. So they've clinched the NL Central. He will be playing in his 10th October. And if you consider the number of years that he missed out when he was with the Angels, now back-to-back seasons with the Dodgers and the Cardinals, it's pretty sweet. And really, the post-game message from Ollie Marmol, I heard it from guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, who actually is part of his division winner for the first time ever. It is about doing this for Albert and for Yachty. Doing this for Albert and for Yachty. Four games back in the NL Central on the last day of July, 37-17 since then. And so this is a big deal. It's a team that is, I mean, it's got stars and guys at every position that can hurt you. And they're also a likable team. This is an organization that churns out winners and that builds teams that can compete. And so I like it. I like the sentimental value, but I also like the way the Cardinals win.
I think it was Yachty and Albert. Yachty and Albert magic, you know, and Goldie and Nolan. Nolan's never won a division. There was a lot of reasons to win this year. No better reason than just win it.
Adam Wainwright says, we got this done because of Yachty and Albert. Yachty and Albert magic. I love that. So we'll hear a little more from them coming up. But yes, Cardinals clinched the NL Central with a pretty wild last 2 months. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees do not get the top seed in the American League. That goes to the Houston Astros. They've clinched it, but they now have the AL East. That is their division, and we'll hear from them. Aaron Judge, by the way, walked 4 times last night. He was 0-for-1 officially with 4 walks, so his on-base percentage has skyrocketed. He did score 2 runs, and he had, this is interesting too, 5 at-bats with full counts. All of his official at-bats went to full counts. And so he's seeing a lot of pitches, but he's also staying extremely patient and is not yet hit home run number 61, though the Yankees have clinched the AL East. So the picture's coming together in postseason baseball. We're there. We're nearly there to October and the month that is the mad dash to a World Series champion. Speaking of that, we've got a tie with the current champions and the challenger in the NL East. And we'll talk about that all with David Sampson, former Marlins president. He'll join us next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
DeWong will take off for second base. No, he doesn't, actually. And there's a comebacker. Helsley has it on the mound. Runs toward first. Flips to Goldschmidt, and the Cardinals can celebrate a Central Division title, beating the Milwaukee Brewers tonight 6-2 to win the NL Central.
Trevino deals a ground ball in the infield to Gleyber Torres, throws to first in time. Ball game over. Eastern Division in the American League over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Rooney on Cardinals radio and then John Sterling on Yankees radio. Recently, there's been a John Sterling cam that's in the Yankees broadcast booth. And boy, does he get so animated. Is he in his 80s yet? Yeah, I mean, the man's phenomenal. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We are pleased to welcome former Marlins president and longtime baseball analyst David Sampson, who loves to join us in the first hour of our show because he's an early riser. So before we talk about anything to do with baseball, David, how's the weather where you are?
It's absolutely fine as I am not in Florida. So I'm thankful for that.
Okay. Gotcha.
But my thoughts are certainly with people in Florida as I think about everyone's safety. But then, of course, from a sports standpoint, I also remember running the team in Florida and having this in your thoughts as you think logistically about the impact of games and of your community and of your fans. So hurricanes are no fun, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it feels like pretty much anybody you ask has either family or friends in Florida. That's just kind of how it works out. So watching it now as Ian has turned into a Category 4, but I'm glad you're in a safe place. So, David, let's talk about postseason picture as we know it. Just have the one NL East division title that's still up for grabs. So Mets and Braves, what's your impression of that race? And really the Mets have led almost the entire season, but the Braves have caught them again.
So when expanded playoffs were invented, you know, the picture was in our mind that there would be these exciting races and that people would be, more cities would be involved. And the coolest race we have now really is the Mets and the Braves, but there's not as much at stake as there usually is because the loser still is going to make the playoffs. So now you have to find another way to engage the fans and talk about why it's so important. So now what they're saying from a marketing standpoint is the loser has a chance to play the Dodgers earlier than the winner. So it'd be really good if you win your division because then you both get a bye and then you don't play the Dodgers until the championship series. So there is a lot at stake. And the Braves, you know, they're the defending champions. They were my preseason pick to win the World Series, but they've been playing from behind all season long. They're a really good team, though. They have a much deeper lineup than the Mets, but the Mets' rotation is slightly better. So it's a pretty exciting race, actually.
Why did you pick them preseason to repeat? That's pretty challenging.
Because there hadn't been a repeat champion since the Yankees in 98, 99, and 2000. And I thought that losing Freddie Freeman, while it was going to hurt them, they were so deep. Of course, I had no idea how good Strider would be, and now he's out and hurt. So you just never know, but it's about time for a repeat. And actually, going into the playoffs right now, I'm still okay with the Braves winning the World Series. They're that good.
Mm. What changes in the postseason internally for whether it's a front office or whether it's the players?
Oh, I love that question. So the front office, what changes is that you're hoping for certain things to happen in October that you can't predict, that analytics cannot indicate, and that is a misplay by the other team. That is a senile ground ball that somehow is not a double play but turns into a two-out RBI or an RBI with one out, let's say. You're hoping for a player who you're not expecting to be a hero to be a hero, because you know you need every single one of those things to happen to actually win the ring. To get to October, you need to be good over 162 games. To get through October, you need someone to step up who you didn't expect.
Does that mean then that experience matters or counts or plays a role, or are you not a believer in that?
I'm not a believer in that. As a matter of fact, there's a ring on my finger from 2003 because we had a bunch of players who didn't even realize where they were. And that's one of the great expressions. When we were in Yankee Stadium trying to win the World Series before game one, the Yankees were playing video during our batting practice. George Steinbrenner had them during our BP. I don't think I've told you this, Amy. They were playing on the Jumbotron all video from all of the World Series they had won, and all of the memories and moments from Yankee Stadium. And these were Marlins where we were playing in front of 12 people all the time with no franchise history. And we spoke to the players about that because the music was haunting what they were doing during BP. And our players were like, we didn't even know any of this. We don't care. It means nothing to us. So sometimes when you have no experience, you just go ahead and play, and that's what happened in 03. So I don't know that it matters.
Okay, so then thinking about the Cleveland Guardians, for instance, the youngest Great. Team in Major League Baseball. They've got a veteran manager, though, in Terry Francona, who's been there, done that. What approach do they take going into these playoffs? That approach where, hey, we've never been there, we got nothing to lose?
I'm so thankful you're talking about the Cleveland Guardians because no one's talking about the Cleveland Guardians. And the interesting thing is that that division was supposed to be a runaway by the Chicago White Sox.
Yes.
Who are the most disappointing team in baseball. I chose them as everybody else did. And I can't, obviously that's anecdotal. There may be someone who makes predictions out there who said the Guardians can win the division. But let's say 99.9% thought the White Sox would, and they've just been awful this year. Some injuries, of course. But the Guardians have that thing. And the thing that we talk about in front offices is that the attributes where you've got complementary depth, where you have overperformance in certain areas than what you expected in spring training, and you have that feeling of almost destiny. And that's how, again, we felt in 03, and the Guardians may feel it. But again, they need a lot to happen for that depth and that excitement to translate to a ring. But they're going to have a chance, and that's pretty cool.
David Sampson's a longtime Marlins president, now with CBS Sports HQ. We love to have him here. Of course, he's got the podcast, too, in which he gets very saucy. It's called Nothing Personal with David Sampson. So when you think about the American League, and then we'll shift, but do you believe that it's the Yankees or the Astros who are more dangerous?
The Astros are a better team than the Yankees. The Astros have a better lineup than the Yankees lineup. The Astros have a better starting rotation than the Yankees starting rotation. I could easily argue the Astros have a better bullpen than the Yankees bullpen, so I'm not sure where the Yankees would have an advantage in a series against the Astros. And that has both been proven over the course of the season, but also as you just analyze and look at the teams. So I think it's going to be very interesting what happens in New York. The interesting part for me is the pressure. So we talk about the Cleveland Guardians, who are probably playing very free right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pressure on the Yankees. They're reading every day about the fact that they have not won since 2009. This group together with Stanton and Judge has been together not for a year or 2 years, but multiple years, and they have not been able to perform well in the postseason. So for me, they go into October with this most pressure and not the best team. And that combination normally doesn't lead to a ring.
I got to ask you about a tweet, and I'm trying to go back and find it, but it was a long time ago, in which you were looking down the road toward the end of the regular season, and you actually said in both the case of Albert Pujols as well as Aaron Judge that you did not believe either one would get to the historic number. Now, we know Albert Pujols has gotten a 700 home run, so I'd love your perspective on that and the way that he has he's clobbered balls this summer or even into the fall. But I don't know why. Why did you think that Aaron Judge would not get to 61? Because right now he's still sitting on 60.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to lose that one, too. So I did think about some second-half predictions where I thought at the time the Yankees and Mets, I thought they'd both hold on. And all of the things I said going into September may not turn out to be true, other than the Yankees winning the division. But the Mets may not survive, and the Braves could overtake them, and Judge likely will get there. But what's happening right now, and everyone's talking about all the walks. Last night he walked four times. And Toronto fans were booing, et cetera. But here's the fact. When you play the Yankees, you meet pregame with your manager and with your team, and you say, I don't care what happens, but Aaron Judge will not beat us. So Aaron Judge is like Barry Bonds when Barry Bonds was at the height. Now, he's not like Barry Bonds in that Aaron Judge doesn't do steroids the way Barry did. But I'm talking about in the lineup right now,
mm-hmm.
you identify one person who you will not let beat you. And Aaron Judge is that person. Therefore, he's not getting more than one pitch per at-bat to hit. And if you don't hit that pitch, you're not going to hit a home run. The bigger story for me, Amy, if we could talk about it, is Aaron Judge could win the Triple Crown.
Yes.
And that's way bigger than him breaking Roger Maris's record. Barry Bonds, whether you like him or not, or like it or not, he has the home run record of 73. It's not, you know, Giancarlo Stanton hit 59 in 2017. That was exciting. He won the MVP, but there were certainly no live break-ins. You know, breaking Roger Maris's record, it's cool, but way, way cooler is the Triple Crown. And there hasn't been a Triple Crown winner since Miguel Cabrera 10 years ago. So I don't think people are giving Aaron Judge enough love for that, which to me is going to be remembered way more than him having the Yankee team record or the American League record.
Yeah, he may not be hitting home runs in the last week, but he's still hitting. He's still getting on base, to be sure. So you've been in baseball for a long time. What does 700 home runs mean to you?
It's incredible. I was talking to someone about it just a few hours ago, actually, Amy. Four people. Let's just think about that. Four people have done it in the history of baseball. In the 100 years plus, and it's never going to happen again. That is a club that is locked down, closed out. You can do all the math you want. You can tell me about Mike Trout or Aaron Judge. Well, Aaron Judge doesn't have a chance. He's too old. Even my friend Giancarlo Stanton. You can go young with Juan Soto. How about Mike Trout? Name me anybody. Acuna in Atlanta. Go ahead. It's never going to happen again. What Albert Pujols has done as the best right-handed hitter, not just for power, but take a look at what he's done in his career, both offensively and defensively. Albert Pujols is simply a superstar. He just faded in a way that people forgot about him,
mm-hmm.
and he's had this recovery in the second half that is inexplicable by anything other than the baseball gods. And you're watching something that you'll never talk about again on your show ever. So that's pretty cool.
I don't toot my horn very often, but anybody who listens to the show knows that I was on this in March. I said it was going to be the story of the summer in Major League Baseball, and I'll be damned if he didn't turn me into a bit of a profit with the second half that he's had. It's phenomenal. But one more question, just as we're thinking about playoffs, the Dodgers obviously have 106 wins. They've tied their franchise record, but man alive, they cannot seem to get that closer situation set. I know Kenley Jansen's got a World Series ring, but they moved on from him. They've got Craig Kimbrel. Man, they've demoted him. Is that going to be their Achilles heel?
No, because by the postseason, here's another thing that happens. You've gone through the regular season. Your closer and your bullpen is so tired. And remember what we talked about at the beginning of this segment, where every team who wins the ring needs someone to step up who you may not be expecting. That is true, especially in the bullpen. So, again, it's 20 years ago, but I ask you to think back to not just our World Series for the Yankee fans out there. Do you remember how many blown saves our closer had during the playoffs? He was exhausted, and we had two of them in a guy named Braden Looper and Ugueth Urbina. So having a closer by committee, quote-unquote, every playoff team does closer by committee in the postseason. You have starters who end up in the bullpen. Look at what Tampa does every year as they get deeper into the playoffs. You say to yourself, my God, they're pitching that guy at the end, and he's throwing 98 and getting everyone out. So that is not as big a deal as people make it out to be. The fact that Holmes is giving it up, that Chapman lost his closer role, that Kimbrel's not pitching well, that is not as big a deal as you would think.
I'm looking forward to those games with 17 pitching changes. Let's go. All right. You can find David on Twitter at David P. Samson, S-A-M-S-O-N. He's got the Nothing Personal podcast and show, which I'm telling you, he's like a different guy. It's not at all buttoned up. CBS Sports HQ, and of course, longtime Marlins president. We always appreciate the experience and the anecdotes. And we'll talk to you again in October. David, thank you.
I'm always buttoned up. See you later, Amy.
Such a liar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
What's a Tuesday into a Wednesday without a little Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady from their two respective shows? Well, actually, Aaron's on someone else's show, but on Tuesdays it might as well be his show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Hump Show nearly done. It's been a mixed bag, but we like it that way. We like a mixed bag. So you may have heard the flap about Aaron Rodgers watching the Jumbotron during the Packers-Buccaneers game in Tampa last week. And apparently, he saw something on the Jumbotron that he then turned around and told his coaching staff. Saw something that he thought might give the Packers an advantage. And so Pat McAfee asked him, what did you see exactly on the big screen?
Well, before the two-point conversion, I did see something on the Jumbotron that I didn't, that I went down and relayed to Matt. I'm not going to get into exactly what I saw or if it even had a real impact on the play. I think that's kind of inconsequential. But I just thought I thought I saw something. I walked down, I relayed it to Matt. Whether that got relayed to Joe or not, I'm not sure. Either way, it had nothing to do with the two-point conversion. There was not an image of like the Microsoft Surface or anything on there. That would have been pretty funny though. But even still, you know, even if you know something's coming and you relay it, you still got to go out and execute. I mean, I think that was what Spygate was all about, right? They, you know, stealing some signals, but you still got to go out there and execute the play and, in our case, stop them. But it had nothing to do with the two-point conversion.
I do love it when these stories take on a life of their own. And in this case, there was this idea that Rodgers was watching the Jumbotron and saw a formation or saw something that triggered a way to help the defense stop the two-point conversion. Remember, the Patriots scored a late touchdown and needed the two-point conversion to tie in what was an abysmal second half of offense. But as he says, you still have to go out and execute. And even the best laid plans of mice and men don't necessarily work out on the field. But that's interesting. A lot of people paying attention. Probably as many people as are paying it. Well, I take that back. Not as many people as are paying attention to poor Tom Brady's love life, for heaven's sakes. Oh, my gosh. It's not just sports outlets now. It is news outlets, the speculation about who's living where. What did he tell us? I'm 45. I got a lot of bleep going on.
I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of going on.
Not just that, but everybody else is involved in his bleep, too. So I kind of feel bad for him. So we don't stick to sports around here, but we don't go too deep into people's personal lives. Unless, of course, they're dating someone named Blue Earth. I'm just kidding. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Or when they drop it on an award show, then we also have to make reference of it. Aaron Rodgers got his protector back. His BFF, David Bakhtiari, was out there on the offensive line with the Packers, which was really cool.
It was great having Dave out there. I'm so proud of him, just like I was proud of Elton coming back.
That'd be Dave. That'd be Bach.
For Dave to be out there, we were laughing. Dave was saying, you know, he never realized what it's like for those players that don't play every snap, you know, where they're, you know, D lineman playing three snaps coming out, you know, a linebacker who's not part of the nickel package coming out, or, you know, receivers who kind of come in and out, backs, tight ends coming out. He's like, man, it's kind of nice, like playing a series and taking a series off.
Oh, no.
I mean, I think he played probably a little more than half the snaps, but it was great having him out there. I think he, based on looking at the film, I think he played really, really well. Hopefully his knee feels great this week, and we'll see where he's at. But I feel good about our line.
Certainly the offensive line played extremely well last week, and David Bakhtiari being back is not only a boost physically but also mentally and emotionally for those guys. They're going to get better. I think you're seeing the Packers are playing better week to week, though still not into an offensive rhythm that's been sustainable for 60 minutes. But an O-line is critical to that, to be sure. Right now, coming up this weekend, it's Packers and Patriots. Not Tom Brady, obvi. That was last week. That's old news.
Yeah, I love Aaron Rodgers.
Now it's Bill Belichick and Aaron Rodgers and the wits matching of two of the grizzled veterans in the NFL. And, of course, they both gush about one another. So Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show talking about Belichick.
Well, he's the best coach of all time. He's a legend, living legend. And he's been ahead of the game for a long, long time. He makes incredible in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments, third quarter adjustments, fourth quarter adjustments, whatever it takes. You know that there's going to be an initial idea about what they want to take away from our offense. I think just a mutual respect. I've seen him a few times over the years at various events, but just a lot of respect. I mean, for me, I think he's a fantastic coach, and I love what he's accomplished and love what he's about, and think he's hilarious in his press conferences. And yeah, he's a legend.
That was probably my favorite part of what Aaron said. I think he's hilarious in his press conferences. You want to know why? Because Aaron would love to be Bill Belichick in his press conferences.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
He just answered a question this past week with no. That's it. Just no.
I appreciate the question. I really do.
I mean, that's actually being generous and probably a lie. He doesn't really appreciate the questions. But of course Aaron finds that hilarious.
No.
So, it's a mutual admiration society. Bill Belichick, what makes Aaron so good at what he does?
He's very smart, very good athlete, got very good quickness and ability to avoid and escape guys in the pocket and extend plays. Really no weaknesses with the player at all. Tremendous amount of experience, game, situation, management, and savvy. He's as good as there is. Glad he's in the NFC and haven't had to face him more than we have, but he's always been a problem, and looks like he's playing extremely well again, as he always does.
I mean, I don't know. He's my fantasy quarterback, and I don't know that he's playing extremely well. I'll let you know when he's playing extremely well. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more, just because we want you to smile on your Wednesday morning. Tom Brady, on his own show, Let's Go, was talking about the butt punt, which is still all the rage in the NFL.
You could wonder if there's any imprint of any dimples as it made its mark, literally. So that was pretty unique. And I, you know, part of being a part of the lore of, you know, the butt fumble. I was at that game, and the best part about that was I didn't see it live. I really didn't know what happened, and I got back to my hotel that night, and I stayed in New York that night. It was a Thursday night game, and I got to see my son the next day, who was living in New York at the time. And it was about 12 o'clock. I got back to my hotel, and I turned on one of the networks, and they were replaying the game, and I saw the butt fumble. And the first time I saw it, I laughed out loud to myself in a room by myself for 20 seconds because I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life in sports. And the fact that our team was on the beneficiary of it and I was on the sideline still makes it one of the funniest things I ever remember in sports. I don't think yesterday topped it, but it was pretty funny.
Fantastic. Butt punt or butt fumble? How many people this week in sports radio or sports TV have had the conversation of which one is funnier or which one is more epic or which one is more memorable? That's crazy, right? And on that note, happy hump day to you. Again, thinking of those of you in Florida who are now in the path of a Category 4 hurricane. Tracking Ian, that's what I'll be doing a good portion of today. We'll be back with you tonight. So be smart and be safe. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!